Well, good morning again. It's great to see you and be with you all on this day. And what we're doing today is we are continuing with our all-church journey called The Core, with today being week five of it. And over this series, we've been studying the biblical values of our church. And hopefully you have both enjoyed this series and have been growing, okay, or being challenged by it. That's really what's key, right, is growing and being challenged and enjoying the presence of the Lord in all of that. And I know that that is happening because I know several of you, besides being here on Sunday mornings, you're using the Core Journal each day of the week that includes some studying of Scripture that goes along with each weekly value. And I also know that several of you are in a community group, you know, a smaller band of people doing life together, right? And discussing your experiences with the series together, which is so healthy, okay? That is a conduit of our spiritual growth. In fact, I've already heard some testimonies to all of that, and I personally cannot wait to hear more of them as we all continue in this series to be diligent and to be engaged throughout the series as we prayerfully engage with the Scriptures and with one another in the pursuit of transformation. And transformation for God's glory, right? And for our in the world's good. And in fact, with that, I would love to just open again this portion of our worship service with a word of prayer. So please join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we dive into this fifth week of our sermon series called The Core, Lord, you have special things in store for us this morning, and you've already had those special things in store. And Lord, we're just going to continue right now in this moment to lean into your presence, and Lord, we surrender right now to hear from you. Lord, we lay down our own agendas, we lay down maybe those troubles that we walked in here with, and we lay them at the foot of the cross, and we together we say, speak. Would you speak to us, Lord, during this time? And we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, so today we're looking at our fifth value as a church, which is generosity. And with that, if you do have a Core Journal, I'd ask you to turn to page 55 of it so you can see how the Lord has led us to define generosity as a church, okay? So here goes. Generosity. We give of our time, talents, and resources to others because of God's love for us. Let's read that together if we could. Generosity, ready? We give our time, talents, and resources to others because of God's love for us. Now with that, today we're going to look at a passage of Scripture from 1 Chronicles chapter 29. You can get there now in your Bible. Again, it's 1 Chronicles 29, which is typically just one-third of the way into a Bible. And so here in 1 Chronicles 29, we see King David's generosity. We see his generosity in action. And as you turn there, I just want to encourage us all today to notice two things from this passage as we study it together. And the first of which is this. I want us to notice the impact, okay, that King David's generosity made on others. So we're going to look at that. And then the second thing to notice is this, and it's the focus of David's prayer, his prayer of thanksgiving. Because as we will see, such a heart attitude, one of gratitude, that heart attitude is a key to gaining a heart of generosity. Now, with that said, before we read 1 Chronicles 29, let's talk a little bit about its context, okay? Like, what is happening before it? Well, in the previous chapter, chapter 28, we learn that King David, he summoned all of his head leaders together, okay? Meaning his officials, his officers, his commanders, his vast army. And he did so to make an important public announcement. For it was here that King David publicly declared that it was his desire and it was his plan to build a house of worship to God, a temple, a resting place, if you will, for the Ark of the Covenant. But God told David that he was not to be the one to build such a house for God, but that it would instead be his son, Solomon, who would sit on the throne at a future time. as the king over Israel. And it would be he who would oversee this building of the temple, the temple or this house of God. Therefore, David handed over to his son the very detailed blueprints for the temple, including its surrounding courts and rooms, the treasuries. So with all that background, let's now dive into 1 Chronicles 29. We're going to start in verse 1, and God's word says this. Then King David said to the whole assembly, "My son Solomon, the one whom God has chosen," and he's saying chosen to build the temple, he says he is young, he is inexperienced. "The task is great, because this palatial structure is not for man, but for the Lord God." In other words, David is saying, this is a big deal. And then he says, "With all my resources, I have provided for the temple of my gold. Gold for the gold work, silver for the silver, bronze for the bronze, iron for the iron, and wood for the wood, as well as onyx for the settings, turquoise, stones of various colors, and all kinds of fine stone and marble. All of these in large quantities. Besides," David said, "in my devotion to the temple of my God, I now give my personal treasures of gold and silver for the temple of my God. Over and above everything, I have provided for this holy temple." In other words, everything else he could have used that stuff for, he's using it over and above anything else for this temple. Now, church, as we reflect on this account, the first thing that David gives his son Solomon were the blueprints, right? I mean, God had instructed David and downloaded to him the overall plans, the overall instructions. But it took David participating with the Holy Spirit to hear them and to document them. And with that said, I can only imagine that it took him, David, hours upon hours of work to document all of this. I mean, can you just imagine all the time, all the energy that he invested in such planning for such a structure? I mean, the building of the temple, it was so involved. Now, obviously, as a local church, you know, we're in a bit of a building project ourselves. Next door, okay, at the Old Bar Restaurant, as we work to redeem this space, as we work to revive it for our church and for our community, based on the leading of the Holy Spirit, for that space to be a space of worship and a space of use for the Lord and his purposes, being a beacon of his hope, healing, and grace. And with all that said, to say that that project hasn't already taken, you know, meeting upon meeting and like several planning hours, that would be a lie, okay? It takes significant time to plan and to do things properly. And it takes time to spend in prayer and with the Holy Spirit to discern his plan. And I mean, like we learned 3 weeks ago, okay, when we studied our core value of prayer, David listened to the Holy Spirit. David participated with the Holy Spirit to see this plan for the temple and to come about. That's just who David was, so we know that he did that. And so to do all these things up front and then to hand them over to his son, very generous in and of itself on the part of David. But from there, we also see, as we just read, that David, he publicly declares before his leaders that he personally now would be the first to give any of the supplies needed for this temple to be built out of his personal wallet, 110 tons of gold, 260 tons of silver, as well as bronze and iron and wood and stone, marble, as we read, and many other precious stones. I mean, talk about generosity, right? So David didn't just make the plans, okay? But he what? He put his money where his mouth was. He put his money where his mouth was by giving generously. And not only of his time and his talents, the planning and the blueprints, but his treasure also, his funds, his resources as well. And in doing so, he was the first in line. He was the first in line to fund this big temple project. It's pretty amazing when you really step back and think about it. Now, with that said, have you ever been I want you to think about this. Have you ever been on the receiving end of someone else's generosity? Ask yourself that. You know, and let me just share with you two specific times in my life. There have been way more, okay? Way more. Praise God and thank you, Jesus, for people who understand the importance and the power of generosity in bringing the kingdom of heaven to earth. Praise God for that. But let me just share with you two examples when I've been the recipient of someone's radical generosity. And the first one is this. As a young family, we were on our way for a camping trip to the Cleveland area. And near the northeast exit of Pennsylvania, just past it, as we were climbing this gradual but steady and long hill, guess what happened? The engine of our Chevy Astro van blew. It just blew, resulting in us having to pull over alongside the road with camper in tow and dreams of a nice little vacation seemingly dashed. But long story short, church, we walked into town trying to figure out what to do with two kids and this broke-down car, and on a whim, we called some friends who live in Fredonia. They were the closest in proximity to us at that time. And what did they do? Do you know what they did? They dropped everything. Both of them. They dropped everything. They drove separate cars, and they left, and they loaned us one so that we could hook up our little camper and continue on with our little camping getaway while our van was towed into that town to be worked on or figured out what to do with. Church, this was an amazing act. It was an amazing act of generosity that involved their time, their treasure, and their resources. And it was one, I got to tell you, it was one that made what could have been a terrible day and the end of a trip for my family, it just turned it into a different beginning of one. Where the Lord, you know what? The Lord showed up. He showed up through our friends and their generosity. I felt so blessed. I felt so thankful to God for them. And then quickly, another time that I was impacted significantly based upon the generosity of another was when I started working at Fisher-Price Mattel. I was young and the corporate Fortune 500 company thing and that type of work, it was all really new to me. And I was just finding myself frustrated beyond belief until I started training with and being invested by this guy named Lee Carnahan. I'll never forget him. He spent so much extra time, so much extra energy with me, and beyond work tasks, beyond training, but life lessons. So much so, church, that I am a different person today because of it, because of him. He was so generous with his time, so generous and patient, and he was so different. I got to tell you, he was so different in a good way than almost anyone else there, that it was just so impactful to me. And guess what? Guess what? I came to find out Lee was a believer in Christ. And he was one that really was a disciple, a follower, not just a believer, but a follower of Jesus Christ. And so, as such, he was so generous in response to God's love and generosity toward him. Because of that love and generosity toward him that he felt from Christ, he poured it out into me, and I'm sure many others. And truth be told, you know what? Part of why I'm a Christian today and a pastor today is because of Christ follower Lee Carnahan. Because of his generosity to pour into me. And the time that he took to listen to minister to me in ways that I'd never experienced, ways that I've never expected. He showed me Christ in that. In the ways that he made me more hungry for God and his place in my life. So what about you? What about you? In the core journal this week, a question is asked that you can reflect on and you can share with others in your community group or family. And that question is this: what is the most generous thing someone has done for you? It's good to think about those things and be thankful for those things, be encouraged and motivated by those things. And you know what? Maybe it was something small, or maybe it was something big. Although I've got to tell you, I have learned that the seemingly small stuff can sometimes be the most impactful stuff. Like Lee listening to me and gently guiding me. He didn't give me like $1 million or anything. Yet we as humanity, we so quickly estimate generosity with money, which it is, but it is so much more, church. So who and what was it for you that was generous? And wasn't it so powerful as you think about it? And with that said, what is it about generosity? There's something powerful about it. There just is. I mean, when someone is generous toward us, when they bless us, doesn't it just make us to want to be generous as well? It's like contagious in a good way. I mean, we see this play out almost every winter and fall in Western New York when someone starts one of those pay it forward at the drive-through window, right, of the local coffee shop. Or we see it with almost any fundraiser when, you know, someone creates one of those thermometer graphics and then someone begins the fundraising with the generosity of their own seed money only to see others do what? Jump right in, right? To keep that goal moving, to keep it moving in the right direction, up and to the right. Well, with that said, this is not a new phenomenon in our time or day. For we see this same idea play out in our text this morning. Because as we already read, King David showed his generosity by being the first, right, to step up. To be the first to start the funding of the temple. And then in verse 5, he turns to this assembly of leaders and he says this. Now, who among you who is willing to consecrate yourself to the Lord? In other words, David was saying, who's with me, right? With that, let's pick up in verse 6. God's word says this. Then the leaders of the families, the officers of the tribes of Israel, the commanders of thousands and commanders of hundreds, and the officials in charge of the king's work gave, how, church? Willingly. And then in verse 7, it just tells us some things about the level to which these leaders themselves were generous, giving like 190 tons of gold themselves and 375 tons of silver, 675 tons of bronze, about 3,700 tons of iron. They gave a lot. And how again? Willingly. And then our reading continues with verse 8 and 9 with this. Anyone, okay? It goes on beyond these commanders. It says anyone. Anyone who had precious stones gave them to the treasury of the temple of the Lord. The people rejoiced at the willing response of their leaders, for they had given freely and wholeheartedly to the Lord. David the king also rejoiced greatly. Now, don't miss what happened in the scene, okay? I mean, can you imagine? Can you imagine? It would be like the women in here, okay? It would be like the women in here taking off their jewelry, one piece by one piece, okay? Maybe even their engagement and wedding ring if they're in that camp, and dropping them in the offering. Or it would be like the guys, you know, taking off their watches or something. Or maybe even it would be like the guys dropping their budgeted amount for online sports betting or something, and generously donating it to the temple fund. Heck, it would mean all of us doing that with our coffee and our energy drink budget. Crazy, right? Crazy. In general, it would be people just giving generously what they have of their time, their talent, and their resources. And think about it, because of David's generosity in giving of his time and his talent and his resources, his treasure, toward the construction of the temple, his leaders did what? They followed in suit, didn't they? And they were generous as well. So David, he starts the generosity, and his leaders continue it, and then the people follow. They follow with their own generosity. And all of this points to the answer to the first thing that I told you that I wanted us to notice this morning as we studied the scripture together. And what we wanted to see was what impact David's generosity made on others. And basically what we see is this. Generosity, church, produces more generosity. When someone is generous toward us or even around us, it changes our heart to be generous as well. Now, at the beginning of this message, I mentioned how we, as a church, we define generosity as the giving of our time, talents, and resources to others. Do you remember the end of it? Because of God's love for us. because of God's love for us. Which is why you see that generosity is one of our values. It is one of our core values because, church, our God is generous. And thus, we are generous. What do I mean? What do I mean? Well, I want us all to listen to, okay? And I mean really listen to. I want us to listen to a passage that is so familiar to likely many of us that maybe we take it for granted, okay? Based upon its familiarity. But that's dangerous, church, okay? And listen to this passage and listen to it with fresh ears. Listen to it with an open heart. Considering generosity, listen to this. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave. He was generous, in other words. He loved the world so much that he gave. What did he do, church? He gave. And what did he give? He gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall never perish, but have eternal life. Church, generosity is a value in God's kingdom. Because generosity, rooted in love, is who our God is. And thus, generosity, I'm telling you what, it better be a value of Revive Wesleyan. As we are on a journey of becoming perfect, more and more perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect. And even more granular than that, generosity better be a value of yours as a Christ follower and me as a Christ follower. For it is what we have been called to. And every time, okay, every time we are generous, we obey Jesus. Every time we're generous, we obey Jesus. You know how? We obey him by bringing the kingdom of heaven to earth. And we participate in what we ask for in the Lord's Prayer. In the Lord's Prayer, we say, for God's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven, don't we? We can, church, and are in fact meant to contribute to that happening. And generosity is a way to do it. It's a way to bring heaven in little shades to earth. Again, through our time, through our talent, through our resources. And think about it. If you look at Jesus, okay, if you look at his life time and time again as a man in his humanity, he was generous. He was generous with his time. He was generous with his talents. He was generous with his treasures, for he gave up his position. He gave up his position in heaven to come down to earth to only humble himself in obedience to the Father, guys. Though he didn't have to, he became obedient. He humbled himself to the point of death, paying the ransom for our sins and dying a criminal's death on a cross so that we and so that you may be forgiven and be in right relationship with God. He didn't come to impress others. He didn't come to show off. He didn't come to use his miracle-making abilities to bless himself, but he generously gave all that he had for others. Ultimately, again, giving his very life for you and for me to bless us. And he still gives and offers that today. And he gave his time to the poor. He gave his time to the outcast. He gave his time to the religious elite alike. And in obedience, we are to follow him in the same way. Meaning our life isn't meant to be our own. And our life isn't about impressing people. And our life isn't about accumulating time, talents, or resources to benefit ourselves. It is about blessing people. For we are blessed. Do you get it? We are blessed to be a blessing. In short, we are generous, guys. We are generous in response to God's generosity toward us. Now with that, let's look back at our text, 1 Chronicles 29 again, verse 10, where we now see King David's response to the people's generosity. God's word says this: David praised the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly, saying, "Praise be to you, Lord, the God of our father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Yours, Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor. For everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. Now, our God, we give you thanks and we praise your glorious name. Now, as we look at that, we see that David's response to the people's generosity was a prayer of thanksgiving, right? And thanksgiving to God, acknowledging that he, God, owns it all. Everything in heaven, everything on earth is God's. David knew that all wealth and all honor come from the ruler of all things, which is God. And the tragic or the sad truth is that when you and I, when we struggle to give generously to others, we have become more attached to the gift than the giver. In his appropriate prayer, David was declaring that God owns it all and that we are called to be people who are generous. Generous with what we have. Generous with what we have been generously given. David praised God for that powerful truth in his prayer. And he continues his prayer with this. Verse 14 to 16. But who am I, said David, who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything, he declared, comes from you. And we have given you, God, only what comes from your hand. And then verse 16, Lord our God, all this abundance that we have provided for building you a temple for your holy name comes from your hand, and all of it belongs to you. Church, the key in the beginning to living with a heart of generosity is knowing that God owns it all. That's the beginning of it. And knowing that the gospel, okay, the gospel, hear me now. It is knowing that the gospel, it goes beyond salvation. It goes beyond escaping an eternity separated from God, for it goes on to bringing the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God to earth via things like generosity. When we realize that all we have been given and that it all is from God and not a result of what we have built or done, it changes how we manage and it changes how we handle what we have been generously given by our God. It's just as Paul wrote in Romans 11, 36, for from him and through him and to him, meaning God, are all things. Church, we serve a generous God who loves us generously, and thus we are called to follow him, to live generously with open hearts and open hands, which is why in the Core Journal, the graphic to depict this week is just that. It's an open hand with a heart on it. You'll see it on page 56 of the journal. Open hearts and open hands say things like, God, you give and you take away, but I trust you. Open hearts and open hands say, all that I have is yours, and thus, as you call me to be generous, I'll do it. Versus closed hearts and closed hands or a closed fist that says, it's all mine. It's all mine. It's all up to me, and I'm in charge. Closed fists say, I'm going to do all I can, including getting all stressed out to hang on to it and to hold on to it versus releasing it into your trust and your care. So with all that said today, we're kind of like it, now what, right? Now what? How would you be a person of generosity with your time, talents, and resources? How are you going to go about that? How am I going to go about that? I mean, what would it look like to be a person of generosity today? What would it look like to be a person of generosity this week, this month, this year? Or just seen as a person of generosity by God? Well, I can't completely answer that for you. I just can't. Because that will take you each taking time, generously taking time, to be in relationship with God, to hear from him, from what he would reveal to you about that. But I do just want to encourage us to reflect upon the application questions to today's message in the Core Journal. They're on page 56. It has questions like this. To whom can I generously give an hour of my time this week? To who can I generously give an hour of my time this week? Or how might God want me to be generous with my God-given time, my God-given talents? How would he want me to do that to serve his church? You know, I mentioned last week and this morning a little bit how this entire month we're highlighting children's ministry. It's a key area where we obediently disciple kids. And we walked away last week with me asking you, and I'm going to ask you again this week to spend some of your time joining me in prayer throughout the month of October. Grab one of those sheets and pray daily about that children's ministry area. But even beyond that, know that we need volunteers. We need you. We need you to be able to disciple these young ones. That's just the truth. We need you. We need help in those rooms. And we'll train and we'll walk alongside you and we'll pace everybody. We're only asking for one Sunday a month. We'll do all that we can do to not burn anybody out. So I'm just saying, maybe in response to today's message, maybe it's time for you to give up 1 hour on a Sunday to worship God by serving his kids in those children's areas. Maybe it's time for that. You're already here, right, during this time, so maybe it's time for you to prayerfully consider being in the kids' room versus sitting in here just one Sunday a month. Remember, a growing disciple, we talked about this last week, a growing disciple starts to think of others over themselves, and in this case with kids. So see me if you have any interest in that. There's a sign up at the Connection Center. Or maybe another thing that you might need to answer this morning with the Lord's leading and help is, what would it look like for me, you know, what would it look like for you to give generously with your finances, with your resources, with your treasure? What would that look like? Ask God of that this week. Wrestle with him in that. Spend time with him about that. So those are just some questions to consider coming off of this message. And these, I got to tell you, these are all important questions to wrestle with, because remember, do you remember the reason we're doing this core series? Do you remember? It's not just for information. It's for transformation, that we would actually live differently by living out these kingdom values. So what will you do? What will I do with what we've heard this morning? How will you and I, how will we more closely follow Jesus from this point forward in generosity? How will we do that? And quite honestly, I got to tell you, it begins by doing the next thing, okay, in a generous fashion. It begins by doing the next thing, creating or seeing the next opportunity, embracing it in a generous fashion. And when you start to do that, and when you keep doing that, do you know what happens over time? You become generous. It just becomes who you are. And you become more and more generous, increasing your likeness of your Heavenly Father, who is so generous. We can do this, church. We can follow him in that way. As the worship team comes forward, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord. We thank you for how generous you are with us, for you gave your Son. That is the pinnacle of it. And you did it out of love, a heart full of love that led to generosity. And Lord, as we gaze upon your generosity toward us, fueled by love, and understand that you've invited us into that and bringing shades of heaven to earth by that and representing you well, Lord, would you help us to do that? We need your Holy Spirit's power. Lord, we pray that you would help us surrender some of our time and our talent and our resources to you. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.